The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning. It is Wheels Up Wednesday. How are you holding up so far this day? Join in 770-563-3770-KMED. The email bill at billmyersshow.com. And boy, I'll tell you, at my house, it just rained and it blowed and it blowed and it rained and it kept raining and it was raining this morning. It's raining right now at the radio station and the wind has just been pretty wild. I never felt so good. Both Linda and I were saying the same thing last night. We never felt so good about having quality tree come out and take out those birch trees that we had. Every time we had three of them in the front yard, they were beautiful trees, but gosh, you know, they end up getting the blight. And every time we would have a storm like this, there would be just a huge mess in the front yard because the limbs kept coming down. And you're always thinking, okay, when is the house going to get hit by the tree? You know, that kind of thing. But it worked out really well for us, and we ended up just like I said, you know, the cats were freaked out as always with the noise, but that was about it. That's about it in my household. And so far this morning, things seem to be, yeah, it's raining and it's winding, and really the biggest impact so far. We'll talk with Mr. Outdoors. Greg Roberts will join me about an hour from now. Have him get some coffee in him, and we'll talk more about how things are shaping up for the rest of this week. But really, it seems to be I-5, it's about travel more than anything else at this point in time, because if you're above 4,000 feet or so, you're talking, in elevation I'm speaking of, you're talking about some pretty intense snow action. I don't have any numbers on that, but that's what I'm hoping to get from Greg. And it's chains required on Interstate 5, both northbound and southbound, unless you have a four-wheel drive, and you better have traction tires. Traction tires just aren't enough to do it all. So lots of delays and kind of slow and go in it. And but anyway, this is our bomb cyclone. So far, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of power outages this morning. I was checking the Pacific Power website, and you know, we had so many problems in the summertime with, you know, daily the heat would come, the wind would come, and then they'd shut it off because of wanting to prevent wildfires from kicking off. And they shut that down for the winter, that particular program. You don't have to worry much about wildfires now, that is for sure. But last time I checked, it was just a handful of outages. Mostly there's a few in Eagle Point, a couple in the Phoenix Talent area, just a handful of people. The Murphy area, the Applegate has some. Eagle Point also has a couple of outages, but other than that, not that bad. Other than the fact it's just lots of water. And, of course, we'll have to be watching for flood conditions. I know out on the coast, my boss was telling me that they're looking for 6 to 7 inches of rain out of the Brookings area. That is serious rain. So, yeah, the possibility of flooding. Avalanche warnings out in the Mount Shasta area. Know that, too. 770-5633-770-KMED. We'll go to the phones. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
This is Minor Dave.
I had a feeling it was going to be you with an update. Did you get your new trailer set up in the Iron Gate yet?
It's supposed to be set up later this afternoon.
Boy, I'll tell you, this is going to be a... boy, you want to talk about a shakedown cruise, right?
It didn't rain last night, but... yeah. We had really, really severe rains that rocked the truck when I was sleeping in it. But I wanted to give you an update.
Yeah.
The cat returned.
Oh, really? The cat that was after your trailer burned down last week, right?
Right.
Oh.
So I'm parked in the driveway of my property, and I had my cat with me, and all of a sudden I hear a cat crying. So I open up the door and she hops right in.
Oh.
And her name's Angel.
Oh.
So, and not a scratch or a mark on her.
Okay, well, Dave, hang on. We're going to give a real American salute to Angel and also the angels that probably surrounded Angel and kept Angel alive over the few days until you found her again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my got some scorched hair.
Yeah. By the way, was Angel hungry? Did she look like she'd been eating? I mean, what do you think?
I think she's hungry. My friend has the cat food, so
okay.
I got to go up there after daylight. See, because I don't have glasses, but an iron.
Yeah, we're losing your cell over there, Dave. Yeah, I appreciate it. But yeah, I think we got kind of the gist of it. Well, I'm glad that your trailer's coming in today. You, part of the radio family here. Our cast of characters, Miner Dave Everest, is certainly one of those. Gosh, how many years? Gosh, he talked to Garth and Rosemary back when Garth and Rosemary were on the air. He talked to me all those years, too. I'm glad that he's doing okay. And by the way, that there were people in the community willing to help out. That's that really shows a good, big heart here in Southern Oregon and Northern California. 16 minutes after 6. You know, it's funny that the mental illness, though, continues with the meltdowns going on from folks from the left that are just unhappy. I'm just thrilled, though, that there are some musicians that are now starting to take some of these unhinged meltdowns and they're putting music to it. There's this one guitarist who put kind of a heavy metal riff to some of the just take a listen to it. And by the way, thanks to Matt for sending this to me. It just made me laugh out loud listening to it.
I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm done with you and your mother and your sister. I'm just done with all of this.
Why? Oh man, she was the best.
Do you really hate me that bad?
I just love that kind of stuff. People getting so creative with it. Why? You know, the scary thing about that particular woman, if you ever saw her, African American woman, and she's on there and she's screaming about the Trump victory and she's pounding her hands on the steering wheel, just scream, and people actually put this mental illness on display. I guess that's what TikTok is there, to be an indicator when the species know, oh, mentally ill person, and they indicate on TikTok, you know, that kind of thing. What was interesting about it is that both Linda and I noted, hey, she's wearing scrubs, like, you know, nurse's scrubs, right? And you start thinking to yourself, oh, man, how'd you like to be going to that hospital, right? It may not rise to the level of Danny Schofield with the, you know, not trying to make light of that Asante case, but oh my goodness, that's just absolute wildness going on out there. How'd you like to have that as a nurse treatment? We'll actually touch on some of those stories and more coming up, too. This is the Bill Maher Show, 18 minutes after 6. Join in at 770-5633. Of course, we're going to have Eric Peters from epautos.com. And we'll be talking transportation, politics, and a whole bunch more. Also, Mr. Outdoors will join me. And we'll be talking about the politics of the state of Oregon. Kevin Starrett keeps an eye on this stuff, and we always share a lot of messages and emails. So, hey, Kevin, come on. And we'll talk about, you know, Drazen being back in there along with other issues, okay? 19 minutes after 6. I haven't checked the price of gold this morning. But I know the markets kind of shook off this whole thing about Vladimir Putin having missiles thrown at him that we paid for into Russia by Ukraine. Not that this could trigger World War III or anything like that. I know that that gold took a spike yesterday because of this, because gold is always that, okay, just in case that the world is going crazy, you end up having physical gold and silver. Get that from Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland and Grants Pass. Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. For that, you have to call for an appointment, 482-3715. But other than that, just walk into the Ashland store. All right. Now, there has been a back away from central bank buying of gold. So we had a little bit of a pullback. So a little bit of a pullback, as far as I'm concerned, the long-term baking of the financial cake of the world's Western democracies, yes, including even Donald Trump's United States of America, it's 30-something trillion dollars and going higher, and is he really going to be able to get control of that? Have some gold and silver as that just in case. Hopefully we never need it for the, you know, because it's Mad Max world, because it probably wouldn't be worth much in Mad Max world. I don't know. Who knows? But one way or the other, smart people and the smart money are adding to their collections. Or maybe you're going to sell it right now because you need the cash. Either way, go to Jay Austin. JayAustinBrokers.com, GrantsPassCoins.com, FortuneReserve.com, FortuneReserve.com, Jay Austin.
on KMED.
I just want to keep playing this.
Do you really hate me that bad?
No. They don't hate you that badly. Oh, the mental illness continues here. Not from us. Not from us. I hope not, at least. But the number is 770-5633-Y-Y-Y-Y. I was picking up a copy. There was, I think Linda has AARP. We hate AARP, but they have one of the better Medicare Advantage plans or supplementals or whatever that is. I'm not on it yet, but I have to kind of semi-pay attention. So AARP sends us their monthly rag each month. And on the cover here, or in this issue, is Ina Garten. Now, I don't know if you know Ina Garten, but she's the barefoot Contessa, is one of those cooking people. Just hard, hardcore East Coast liberal. All right? Ina Garten. And she says, I surround myself with people who are happy and positive and smart and funny and always, you know, hardcore commie. You know, that's the part that is left unmentioned. Everyone that ever is invited in there. And I'm wondering how someone like Ina Garten is doing right now. Because if you've read anything about Ina Garten, and frankly, some of those famous chefs and cooks and things like that are incredibly nasty people. Ina Garten, especially, an incredibly nasty woman. There was that, you may recall a few years ago, there was that situation where there was a Make-A-Wish boy, I think it was dying of some disease. And she was approached by this Make-A-Wish. Hey, you know, he's dying. Could he come and cook with you? And, of course, she turned him down. That's just what she does. She probably would have asked, well, who did he vote for in the last election? And then he's only 7 years old. He hasn't voted for anybody. Well, I'm sorry. You know, if he's not a hardcore Democrat, I can't have him in my kitchen. And she didn't say that, but you know, that's what I'm thinking. But anybody else with a brain that had millions upon millions of dollars in a food network empire would have said, of course, come on in. I mean, the cameras would have been rolling and she could have pretended to be a nice person for once in her life. Just once she could have done it. Nope, not enough. And I can't help but think that there's a lot of the liberal intelligentsia that we're seeing out there that are melting down, that their truth is just really showing through, I guess. 25 minutes after 6. Okay, what else do we got going on this morning as far as political news? Well, Lori DeRemer, you know, Lori DeRemer ended up getting bounced out. She was defeated in her run for Congress to get reelected. And now the push is to have her be labor secretary in the Trump administration, the incoming Trump administration. So one way, well, of course, that's one way a Republican gets in there without having to cost a House seat because the House seat was already lost in the state of Oregon. We'll certainly have more information on that coming up there. Meanwhile, speaking of Donald Trump, he attended SpaceX Starship rocket launch with Elon Musk yesterday, did that. The biggest rocket ever built, Fox Business reporting this. And yeah, so Trump went to Texas Tuesday with Elon. Boy, there's a lot of bromance going on there, isn't there? Yeah, really. This is an interesting story. This one coming out of U.S. News and World Report. State of Texas offering more than 1,400 acres of land along the border with Mexico to the incoming Trump administration to lease. In other words, what's this land for? For a mass deportation center. Donald Trump expected to mobilize agencies across the government to help him deport record numbers of immigrants, building on efforts in the first term to tap all available resources. So the Texas Land Commissioner says, hey, we have the spot for you to do that. Meanwhile, Judge Juan Mershaw adjourns sentencing in Donald Trump's hush money case. And the Attorney General, Alvin Bragg, is asking to freeze the case for 4 years. I'm not an attorney. I don't have legal training, as it were. Is that enough? Is that good enough? Should any president be conducting their term with the knowledge that you're sentenced for a felony and frankly, a fraudulent felony in my world. 4 years down the road, you get out of the Oval Office and then they drag you into court and throw you into jail. Should any president be working with that kind of knowledge, with that that sort of sword of Damocles hanging over your head? That doesn't make any sense to me. But that's what happened. That's what happened in court. Fox News reporting that the FEMA director, Deanne Criswell, vowed to request an inspector general investigation into orders that FEMA employees avoided homes of Trump supporters during relief efforts for Hurricane Milton. Criswell made that commitment during her testimony before the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee yesterday. Criswell has insisted that orders to avoid pro-Trump homes originated from a lone employee and were not part of a wider directive. Not part of a wider directive. Do you think she's telling the truth?
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Okay. Yeah, we heard that comment from the peanut gallery. Nah, I don't believe that. Criswell's claim contradicts Washington, who was the person who was fired, who asserts that she's being scapegoated by the agency for a wider policy of avoiding pro-Trump homes in the wake of Hurricane Helene and Milton. Washington emphasized to Fox News that FEMA prioritizes avoidance and de-escalation in situations where some employees may feel unsafe. And that is not necessarily politically targeted at Trump supporters.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Yeah, I know. It's not the last that we'll hear of this situation. We'll catch up on some of the other news then. And then we're going to kick off Wheels Up Wednesday. And then Mr. Outdoors will join me. We'll also be talking some state politics and a bunch more, along with your calls. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Life's busy, and you need to be on time, on the road, on
schedule. You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMEV.
Eric Peters, automotive journalist at epautos.com. Eric, I don't know if you know where that's from. That's some of the mentally unhinged that have been airing their grievances against Orange Man Bad. Orange Man
well,
Extra Bad.
Catchy. At least there's sort of in syncopation.
Yeah. Well, and then some heavy metal guitarists are saying, hey, we can make a riff out of this. I'll put a riff to it. And then just having fun. I just love it.
That's great.
There's nothing like having your mental illness actually put on full display for everybody to know. But at least, you know, at least we know who to avoid. Of course, that particular woman was wearing nurse's scrubs, which kind of, you know, gives me pause, you know, especially.
Oh, well, you know, it unfortunately, mental illness still abounds. I picked up my sister who's here for a visit at the airport. And as we're waiting for her to come out of the terminal, we saw several people coming out fully masked up, and they didn't take the things off even after they got out of the building.
Out of the building. They're still wearing
out
masks.
Out of the building. They're walking in the open air, and they're still wearing the thing.
I did see a young man, and of course, mostly young men. I did see a young man and young woman out on Delta Waters the other day walking down the street in the middle of the day, nice breezy day, wearing masks. And I kind of got used to it, but it was sad to see nonetheless.
It's extraordinarily sad. You know, they can't be that ideological. At least it's hard for me to imagine that they are. I have to believe that they are living in some kind of a fear world that is impossible for me to even conceive of.
And I'm thinking that the mask to them is a bit of a security blanket. You know, a little bit of that, you know, that kind of activity going on. I can't help but think that any other way.
Yep.
Well,
I'm hoping that Trump will try to make America great again by doing what he can and has the power to do once he's inaugurated to make cars affordable again.
That would be really something, and they're not affordable right now. I mean, at this point, you know, the weird thing is that some people I know have been writing me saying they're waiting to see a fire sale on EV. So an EV yep. would actually be, you know, that might be appropriate for some people. Some people's driving patterns may work. Hey, like me, I would be perfect to have an EV as a second car. I drive to work. It's 3.5 miles a day each direction. You know, boy, EV's perfect on something like that. You're not worried about range anxiety or anything like that. But not at $50,000 or $60,000. Not
well,
going to
sure.
do that.
Sure. Even if you were to have a fire sale price, price and cut the thing in half, you're still looking at $25,000-$30,000. And for the bulk of Americans, that's unaffordable. It's just too much.
Yeah, it has to not just be there. It has to not just work. It has to be affordable, and that's what's mm-hmm. been missing a lot. Now, the story is though that especially the post the COVID bump in the sales and the shortages and everything else, that the car dealerships concentrated on expensive cars at the expense of the Econo boxes that we used to be able to buy at the dealership. Would you agree
with
that or not?
Nobody's making Econo boxes. That's a misnomer. There are what you call entry-level cars, but there really are no such things any longer as economy cars. I can't think of a single car that's available, for example, without air conditioning, without power windows, without a big touch screen. Most of them have automatic transmissions now, and that's one of the reasons why essentially they're kitted out like luxury cars used to be, and they come with a commensurately high price tag for that reason.
To buy a car, then, one is essentially buying a lower-end luxury car, really.
Yes, correct, exactly. Yeah. Now, on the other hand, there's no reason at all why Americans couldn't have access to, as an example, the 24 Toyota Hilux Champ that you and I have talked about, which is just one of many examples.
Now, the Hilux is what, about 15 grand is all the cost, really?
Oh, it's less than that.
Really?
The Hilux Champ is what we call in the business a decontented version of the Toyota Tacoma pickup that you're allowed to buy here. Comes with a small four-cylinder engine rather than a turbocharged hybrid drivetrain. Comes standard with a manual transmission, very few amenities, and a kind of a configurable box bed in the back that you can kind of spec it out the way you want it. And it starts for $13,000. And there's absolutely no reason why Americans shouldn't be able to buy it, but they can't because of federal regulations that prevent Toyota from offering it for sale here. And again,
now is it about the United States safetyism, those kind of regulations, then, which you have to match the very latest standards whatsoever, or you can't sell it here? Is that the deal with the Toyota Hilux?
I think it's important that people understand that, because the way it's framed is, well, the thing isn't compliant with safety standards, and that is true. But if you dig a little bit deeper, it's not about the vehicle being unsafe to drive. It's not about it being defective or unstable or prone to crash. It simply means that it doesn't meet all of the jot and tittle of whatever the latest federal motor vehicle safety standards are. And a really good way to understand this, which I reference in the article, is if you were to go back and say, pick up a 2011 model year Mercedes S-Class and make that exact car today and make it new.
Well, it wouldn't pass today's standards, right? It wouldn't pass today's standards.
It would be considered unsafe, which is idiotic.
Yeah.
A 2011 Mercedes S-Class is
a tank.
And it was one of the safest vehicles you could possibly be in if you get into an accident. But it's not compliant. So, therefore, it would not be legal to manufacture that car today and sell it in this country. And that's why Toyota can't sell the Hilux Champ here, and that's why many other manufacturers can't bring their vehicles into this country to sell.
So part of making America great again and making vehicles affordable again will be that Trump really does need to eviscerate the safetyism apparatchiks out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, can you imagine the tsunami of popular support that would ensue if he did that, particularly once he explained it to people that, no, you know, I'm not putting defective and dangerous cars on the road. I'm giving you the opportunity to buy the kinds of cars that we once took for granted, like a $13,000 pickup. You and I can remember when pickups cost less than typical cars, and they were a good way to get a new vehicle without the expense of a brand new car.
And they didn't have a lot of niceties in it. They were pretty much basics.
Yeah.
They were very basics. They were meant for work. There was a, what was that? I was at a store yesterday, and I went by, you remember the old Volkswagen pickup trucks that were essentially, they took the rabbit. Yeah, they took the rabbit and the back side of it. They were usually diesels, and they weren't that pricey. Well, some young man had one, kitted out, took it, and had it all rebuilt. And you looked at it, and it was very simple, very simple.
Yeah.
There was a radio, there was a heater, and then there's the ignition key. That's about it. You have no options like that at all in the American car manufacturing world.
No, and that makes it particularly hard for people who are young and wanting to get a leg up. Like, let's say that you wanted to start a business. I'll give you a good example. Mm-hmm. My old college roommate who lives down the road from me, who now has a successful roofing business, when we were kids, when we got out of college, he bought himself a brand new Ford F-150 with no floor mats, with a manual transmission,
yep.
An inline six, and it enabled him to have what he needed to start his roofing business. Today, you know, these trucks, they all start around $40,000, like that Silverado that we talked about last week. It's a very nice truck.
And most of the trucks that you see tooling around the roads around here in Southwest Oregon are $60,000 to $70,000. It's amazing how much they're going
for. Right? So imagine being, 22 years old and you're wanting to start a business and you're looking at potentially having to spend $42,000 plus, plus the insurance, plus the property tax. It's just something that people in that age bracket can't do.
Is there any case to be made that the price of the trucks soared sky high in order to make up for the incredible losses on the EV side of things? Is there any evidence to that, or is that just wrong thinking?
It's complicated. That is an element of it. They, a lot of the manufacturers decided that it made more sense for them in terms of dollars and cents to have high markup vehicles like SUVs and trucks that transact for $50,000-$60,000 and sell fewer of them than it would be to sell many more entry-level or economy-type cars on which the margins are a lot less. It was once the practice that generally speaking, an economy-type car like a Chevy Chevette back in the late 70s, early 80s, the dealer might make, $500 on the sale. It's not a lot. You got to sell a bunch of Chevettes to make that worth doing.
Well, they also hope that you would get brand loyalty and then stick with Chevy. Of course, you bought a Chevette, and then you probably didn't want a Chevy.
But the thing is, they painted themselves into a corner. That works for a little while. As long as people are flush enough, there are enough people out there that are flush enough or willing to get into debt for long enough to buy themselves a $60,000 or $70,000 vehicle, maybe that works. But we're getting to the point where there's just not that many people who are in a position to finance or buy a $60,000 or $70,000 vehicle, and that's why sales are stalling. They're down by several million since the high of, I think, 2017. And I'm certain that much of it has to do with the fact that people are simply being priced out of the new vehicle market.
And it's not all just demographics, the aging of the country. It's not all that, for sure, okay?
Absolutely not.
Eric Peters, epautos.com, 770-5633. If you want to talk with Eric, happy to have you on. Good morning. Hi. You're waiting for Eric? You're on.
Hi, Eric. This is James in Selma.
James, what's going on?
Good morning.
Yeah, I think at one time I heard you on Alex Jones, and I was wondering what's your opinion on them suing Alex Jones for $1.5 billion? And do you think that you could get more truthful information from Alex than CNN?
Well, Alex is sort of an archetype or a figure. Let's put it that way. I don't want to necessarily critique or praise him. I think that the judgment that was levied against him was obviously grotesquely disproportionate, because at the end of the day, what was he accused of? Essentially, he was accused of causing anxiety to people over comments that he made about the Sandy Hook school shooting.
And I have great difficulty understanding $1.3 billion over causing anxiety.
It's crazy.
Okay.
The point of that judgment was clearly to send a Sicilian message to pretty much anybody in the contrarian media that you better be careful about what you say, you better be careful about what you write, because we'll use the court system to go after you economically, financially, and just bankrupt you and destroy you that way.
I appreciate the call there, James. Thanks for making it, too. 646-770-5633. You have a question or comment for Eric? Happy to have you on the show this morning on Wheels Up Wednesday. You have an article. Well, first off, we haven't even said Kiev this morning, though. Have we really been good Americans by not saying Kiev yet?
Let's say it
one,
together.
Two, three, on one, two, three.
1, 2, 3.
Kiev. Oh, my gosh. The question that is bubbling through my brain this morning is, why hasn't Joe Biden been Amendment 25th right now, like the same day that he issues that order and tells Ukraine, go ahead and take those missiles that you bought from us. Go ahead. You can send them into Russia. Not a problem. No problem with kicking off World War III, in a hot way.
Yeah.
It's like, and yet there's not a word about that. Everyone's acting, this is perfectly okay. Yeah, well, sure, we're going to send USA-made missiles into the heart of Russia or into Russia. And
yep.
And then Putin is coming out and saying, hey, you know, if you're providing the missiles and they're coming in here, we're looking at the attack as coming from you and we could go nuclear. It's like I would take people seriously when they talk like that, Eric.
Yeah,
I really
you
would.
Know, Paul Craig Roberts, who I know from back in the day, often uses the term insouciant when describing Americans, meaning that they're just sort of indifferent to these potentially apocalyptic and certainly consequential events, of which this is a prime example. I was watching, I guess, a few days ago, I can't remember exactly when it was, but Biden invited Trump to the White House, and I was watching these two guys sitting there as if they were just the best of friends, and Biden was smiling, and that just struck me as extremely odd. And then fast forward a few days, and Biden gives the green light to the Ukrainians to fire the missiles that we provide, which are also guided by us, because the Ukrainians don't have the capacity to do that. So, you know, it's very obviously us that's firing the missiles.
Yeah, our fingers are in that pie. And, you know, to me, that's a real escalation of this. This is
Stuff. It's possible the thing suggested to me, to my mind, was that Biden was smiling because, you know, he's trying to goad Putin into doing something that might trigger a war and dump that in Trump's lap, or even something more crazy. You know, Zelensky canceled the election, so why not cancel the inauguration? You know, they keep referring to this guy as President Zelensky. He's Dictator Zelensky. And, you know, the same kind of thing could happen here if we had a real war. I mean, one that actually was on this country's soil rather than in some weird Slavic country.
Exactly.
On the other side of the world.
Exactly. The other thing is that if we had a real media, they would be asking such questions rather than being more concerned about, football players are doing the Trump dance? And hey, even though I'm laughing when I see that, but it's like,
you know,
that,
as a
not the most important
aside,
stuff.
And I think we're probably about the same age, so I think you can remember this. When I was in high school, and at the height of the Cold War, I wasn't particularly concerned about nuclear war because it just felt like there were sane adults in charge on both sides, and that neither of them were that batty, that irresponsible, that evil, that they would just do this on purpose. But now I'm really concerned that we've got outright imbeciles and outright psychopaths with their fingers literally on the button.
Yeah, we have a lower level of quality of elites in America today than even in 1980. And
I mean, thank God for Putin. I mean, it's a strange thing to say that, but he strikes me as a serious guy, you know, unlike the clowns that we have over here. And my sense of it is that he's been very patient. You know, this is very provocative. I mean, can you imagine the reaction in this country?
Well,
missiles were...
All right, all you have to do is go to Cuba. Go to Cuba. Cuba sends some Russian missiles. I'm going to go back to the early 1960s, right?
Yep.
Russia lobs a few missiles into Florida from Cuba. How do you think we'd be reacting?
Everybody knows that it's Russian technicians that were there and all of that. I mean, it would never be tolerated.
Yeah, absolutely. And we act as if only we, the indispensable nation, are able to respond in kind. It's a real interesting conceit still playing out. I hope we don't have to find out the results of having such imbeciles in charge, Eric. That is for sure.
Well, hopefully Putin, my hope is that he will remain patient for the next 6 weeks and wait it out. And hopefully these people who are doing all of this crazy stuff will be hoovered out of the federal capital, and we can have some kind of a reasonable, rational handling of the situation. But my worry is that if it's not sufficient to provoke the Russians to fire these missiles, that they're going to amp it up and do something even more outrageous.
Yeah, agreed. Eric Peters, epautos.com. Yeah, but it's not just cars. It's also transportation, news, and also the politics, which comes into that. Hey, what do you think about the incoming, or at least the proposed transportation director? Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Well, my first initial thought, it's anything, a waxen doll would be an improvement over Pete Buttigieg. And the same goes with Michael Redguard Reagan. You know, minimally, at the very least, we no longer have communists, at least hopefully come 6 weeks from now, that are in charge of these federal apparatus.
Nothing will give you more pleasure than to see Booty Boy get the boot, okay?
Yep.
Having him out there. You want to talk about someone who is absolutely clueless about the agency that he runs. Of course, I don't know, though, Eric. Maybe most of these people, I know I'll hear people that are making criticism some of these proposals. He's unqualified. Most of them really are unqualified when you look at them. Look at Merrick Garland, what he has done to the AG, and yet we're supposed to sit around there and clutch our pearls over Matt Gaetz as an AE, you know, wanting to restore some balance. You know, Merrick Garland, all I can say is that thank goodness he was never put on the Supreme Court, because you could imagine that little troll on the Supreme Court, what he would have been doing.
The thing that worries me, again, is that we have ideologues in positions of power. you know, incompetence, competence, you know, those are important characteristics. I would like to have somebody who's conversant, for example, with the car industry, how vehicles are made, engineering, that sort of thing, put in charge at the EPA or DOT. But failing that, I would just like a competent administrator who isn't a communist ideologue.
And also maybe someone who knows how to get good people around him or her to make that happen. Although I have to say, when I saw, just because of the past associations, Linda McMahon running the Department of Education, I just imagine, since it's from, you know, the wrestling industry was the past, right? You know, the private sector past. I can just imagine, you know, taking the teachers union, Randy Weingarten teaching, and body slamming her. You know, down.
But, you know, actually, I took that as a positive sign. I think it's a way for Trump to telegraph his contempt for the Federal Department of Education, and that's a good thing. There should be no Federal Department of Education. Isn't it enough that we have 50 of them at the state level, and now we have to have a federal one, too?
Darn straight. It's 6:53. Eric Peters with me, and if you have a call or question, 770-5633. Good morning, caller. You're on with Eric Peters. Question for Eric. Go ahead. Hello.
Bill, it's Brad. Eric, good morning. I love your segments with Bill. I love it. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I spent my life in the construction industry. My first vehicle, my first pickup was a 1968 half-ton four-speed Ford, $750. $750 to get me started on the life of a general contractor. My next pickup was a 1973 four-wheel drive Chevy three-quarter ton. $2,500 for that one. And my first, that was in 1979. So I didn't get a new pickup until 1983. First new pickup, 1983 GMC four-wheel drive, three-quarter ton, $14,000. Got a 14% loan to buy that. So what happens is when the cost of a new vehicle, as you and Bill have talked about, you're excluding all these younger people that want to start businesses, get into business. If you need equipment like a vehicle, you're stuck. So we used to go to the used market, but because of the Obama administration, they literally wiped out. God, I don't know how many millions of vehicles did.
Oh yeah, you're talking about like a generation's worth of used vehicles, cash for clunkers, right, Eric? Right?
Yeah, exactly. They cut the legs out from under. They cut the rung off of the ladder by getting rid of the then adequate and abundant even supply of, you know, affordable, low-cost cars and trucks that existed and had always been in existence until then.
Now, Brad, if you were a contractor starting out today, I know you're not in that section of your career at the moment there, what would you do? I mean, what are they doing? Do you know? Do you know any of these young contractors?
Yeah. Bill, I see these guys all the time. You know, I probably help bring into the world anywhere from 15 to 20 new contractors a year. You know, God bless these brave young people. But you make a point. And the point is that the number one piece of equipment that a contractor needs is he needs a vehicle that's going to transport his tools and equipment to the job reliably and get it back. And there isn't hardly anything out there that these younger guys can get into. So what they wind up doing is they wind up getting, they're leveraging debt, right? They have to borrow all kinds of money to get into this stuff on top of all the other money it takes to run their business. You know, this is so obvious, I can't believe it's accidental. I can't believe that this type of thing is happening. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, we remember that when Obama got elected, General Motors was in such bad shape it had to file bankruptcy. So the Obama administration told General Motors, you're firing your executive officer and you're taking the guy that we're going to give you. They split GMC into two different divisions. All the debt went with one side. And then the other side was the one that paid all the benefits to the labor unions to keep them in business. Chrysler got sold to Cerberus, I believe it was, and they just made an absolute mess of the automobile industry.
And I think Brad. And Eric, I would dare, kind of keying off on Brad's point there, this was purposeful. It wasn't an accident.
Absolutely. These people don't like vehicles, and more finally, they don't like it that average people could afford to buy them. They really don't like that. And, you know, it's evident if you go and read their own policy proposals and what they've been advocating for the past 50 years. And they very subtly and very cleverly used the regulatory apparat to make cars progressively and trucks progressively less and less affordable, with the object being to winnow the number of people who are in a position to be able to buy them. It is purposeful.
Eric, there's another article you have up there, Better Than Parenting, and it has to do with encouraging people to become more competent drivers so they're not in need of parenting. And, of course, I love the graphic that you have with it, with one of those little push cars that we used to have when we were kids with a little kid at the wheel. What are you thinking there?
Yep.
What's the point?
Well, it's an interesting paradox. You know, everybody has heard about all of this, and as they call it, advanced driver assistance technology that they have been foisting onto people and making it standard rather than optional. And you'd think that as a result of that, that there would be fewer crashes and that cars would be more quote-unquote safe. In fact, they're not. The accident and fatality rate continues to go up. And I came across a very interesting stat that was published by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, which is sort of an organ of the insurance mafia. One of the least safe, that is, most likely to crash vehicles out there is, wait for it, Tesla.
The Tesla. Okay.
Yeah, and they happen to be the vehicles that have the most advanced driver assistance technology. And I think it's fairly evident that if you cripple people's capacity to control a car and you make them reliant and dependent on technology, well, they're kind of inept. And when a scenario arises that is outside of the programming of the advanced driver assistance technology, or let's say the cameras are fogged up and they don't see, the driver, so-called, air fingers quotes, doesn't know what to do, and bada bing, bada boom, he hits the tree, and I think that accounts for all of this.
Well, I know that one of the joys of driving an older vehicle, a couple of older vehicles that don't have a lot of this, is that it's less convenient, but on the other hand, you have to drive it. You have to know how to drive it.
Yep.
And there's, I think, in some ways, we humans are hungering for more of that experience. In fact, I'm reading, though, I am actually reading that younger generations are actually starting to turn to some of these older vehicles because they want the experience of actually driving, and actually doing something rather than sitting there and playing with a touchscreen on the dashboard.
True. Yeah, touchscreens are falling out of favor because a lot of people don't want to drive a cell phone anymore, which is effectively what you're obliged to do. And it's an ironic thing because there are laws in pretty much every state, I think, that tell you you're not supposed to text while you drive. You're not supposed to be looking at that thing and pecking at that thing. And then they engineer these cars such that you can't operate almost any of the secondary controls anymore without touching and tapping and swiping the cell phone that's built into the dash.
Are the manufacturers hearing this and going back to some more buttons? Because the beauty of the buttons and or levers, things like that, is that you don't have to look at them, and you can deal with a lot of this just with the tactile feel of it when, turning the fan up and down or making it warmer or colder, et cetera, that sort of thing.
They're not yet because, this is something that can't happen overnight. And they saw an opportunity to reduce manufacturing costs. When a vehicle is being assembled, it's coming down the line, and if it's plug and play, let's say, they just put a touchscreen in it, the touchscreen gets plugged into the car, and that is how they control all the operations, rather than, as in the past, let's say, having a cable or a switch that would have to be wired up or hooked up, which takes more time and might actually take a human line worker to do that job. They figured, this is easier for us to manufacture, and of course, it's cheaper. They try to present this to the buyers. Oh, look how fancy it is. Look at this big, shiny screen. It looks like the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, and it's cheaper as your pickup truck is $60,000 overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's just some cheap Chinese-made touchscreen. It's the one thing that's gotten cheaper, these, Chinese-made screens. So, it makes more money for them. And, of course, there's also the other factor. When that screen becomes obsolete and goes dark 8 years down the road and they're no longer supported and they no longer make replacements, you pretty much have to throw the car away unless you want to drive it.
Throw it in the woods.
Air conditioning or a radio.
Throw it in the woods like you talk about on epautos.com. So maybe we're going to see this in some future generations here. The other thing about arguably, if you're talking about making America, have more affordable vehicles again, I would dare say that something using tactile feel is safer because you're not having to look at it.
No question. That's a very powerful argument. It's something that can be backed up with real data. Everybody who knows anything about vehicles and driving and all of that will tell you that it's safer to keep your eyes on the freaking road. And you'll be able to, if you need to turn up the radio, to have a knob that you can reach and feel by hand without having to look and tap a screen.
Now, latest review, we talked about the Chevy Silverado last week a little bit.
We did.
And you did put that review up. It is on epautos.com. And you're talking about how great it is to still find something with a pretty decent motor in it, and General Motors is delivering that in spades, apparently. What do you have for next week, day before Thanksgiving, when we do this?
Well, I've got the 25 Subaru Crosstrek, Forester, which looks very much like the 24, but they've made a number of subtle upgrades to it. It's difficult to write about these crossovers, as you know, because they are all so much the same. However, there are a couple of things about the Subaru that are worth mentioning that do make it different. One is it has a boxer engine, like all Subarus do, which means it's a flat engine, and that's different than an inline engine. And that's not just, oh, it's a different shape engine. It actually is lower in the chassis, and that helps with handling and balance. It's a more compact engine, so you've got more room under the hood. So all of that is very good. And the other thing that I think I really like, and I think people listening may like, is that it doesn't have a turbo because it doesn't need one. It's 2.5 liters mm-hmm. rather than 2.0 liters or less.
So it has enough grunt just straight with the motor as it is,
yeah,
normally
I mean,
aspirated.
It's not a hot rod, but it's got enough power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an engine like that, as we've talked about before, that isn't under pressure, literally, because that's what a turbocharged engine is. It's under boost, which is pressure. Will tend to probably live a longer life and won't require expensive repairs down the road after the warranty runs out. So I'm a big fan of that. Now, that said, it comes standard and only with a CVT automatic, and I'm not the biggest fan of those things. Subaru has taken the manuals out of all of its vehicles with the exception of the BRZ sports car. I wish Subaru would offer a manual transmission in its crossovers because they're such boring vehicles to drive. At least having a manual would make it more fun to drive.
You know, give you something to do in between the yep. swiping on the touchscreen.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Hey, Eric, I just wanted to give you a follow-up. Remember Darren wrote the show, and I talked with you about, I think it was a Tacoma that this person was looking at.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give you a follow-up on this as we wrap, okay?
Okay.
Because he wrote me back. He says, I happened to get in the car to head to work just the moment that you started reading my letter to Eric, so I was able to hear the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I relayed the conversation to my son, and he decided to follow Eric's advice and took Grandpa up on the offer of that old Toyota Tacoma. Fourth, mm-hmm. after taking the truck to a local garage for a thorough diagnosis, we contacted a friend of ours who works on cars, and he was more than delighted to have my son bring the Tacoma over to his shop, or he could show my son how to do the work. This is even better. Mm-hmm. You know, the son's
even
learning
better.
How to
yep.
do this stuff. My son bought the parts, did the work with some major help from our friend, and after $400 in parts and 2 days of elbow grease, the Tacoma is shaping up quite nicely. And finally, new tires are next up along with a few more repairs and hose replacements, and the Tacoma has a new proud owner. And thank Eric for me, and thanks for being part of this success story. So it's Darren Croy, Southern Oregon Dad.
That's outstanding. You know, that's some really nice news to hear today, so thank you for that.
Yeah, so he took your advice, and they had mm-hmm. the Tacoma, and they're getting it all fixed up as need be, all right? Eric, thanks so much, and be well this week, and we look forward to the Subaru conversation next week and a whole bunch more. And I don't know, are you going to stick around Virginia for your Thanksgiving or not?
It looks like it. I just hope that we won't all be ashes in a crater before next week.
Okay. Well, if
yeah.
yeah. Well, you know, looking at it this way, if we're going to be ashes, don't worry about the credit card bill this week, okay? Go live a little,
maybe,
okay?
Yeah, maybe I ought to go out and have a little fun today on the credit card.
Yeah, exactly. Live a little. See what happens, okay? Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Bill.
EPautos.com.